Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Vav Amud Bet, about six lines up in the narrow lines. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Beitza im yitziata nigmira. An egg, when it is laid, that is when it is completed. So Gemara wants to know, what does that mean? My im yitziata nigmira. What does that mean when it's laid, that that's the finishing part of the egg? Ilema im yitziata nigmara. That means that it's finally separate from the chicken itself. Umuteret ochla bechalav, and therefore you can eat it along with milk, because now it's parva, it's no longer fleishik, it's no longer chicken. Ha b'meima, the implications of that are, if it was still within the chicken, asura ochla bechalav, then you would not be able to eat it with milk, because it would be classified as chicken. V'atanya, don't we have a bright, ashochet et atarnegolet, umatza ba beitzim gmurot, and you find in it complete eggs inside of the chicken. Mutarot lochlam bechalav. You're perfectly permissible to eat those eggs with milk. They do not have a stash of fleishik. They're not chicken. Ela im yitziata nigmira umuteret lochlo biyom tov. And you're permitted to eat it on yom tov. So the implications again are, the fact is that once it's out, that it's finished, and you can eat it on yom tov, ha b'meyima. That means that if it's still internal to the chicken, asura lochlo biyom tov, then you would not be able to eat it on yom tov. V'atanyo, ashochet et atarnegolet, umatza ba beitzim migimurot. Again, we saw this on Daf Bet. Person shechse atarnegolet, a chicken, a hen, and finds inside of it complete eggs. Mutarot, ochlam bi yom tov. They're perfectly permissible to be eaten on yom tov. V'chi teimak mashlan mi breita. Maitolo ashminim v'matnitin. Maybe he's going to teach us what is in a breita. When we say that an Amora has to know everything that is written in a Tanaic work, that's true by Mishnayot. But sometimes breita weren't well known to everybody. So maybe he's trying to tell us the information that's found in this breita. Hainami tanino. This is a Mishnah. Forget about a breita, it's also a Mishnah. Beitza shenolda biyom tov. Our Mishnah here in Beitza, which is a Beitza that was laid on yom tov. Beit Shemai omrim teachel. Beit Shemai says you can eat it. Beit Hillel omrim lo teachel, you can't eat it. V'ad gan lo pligei Beit Shemai u'Beit Hillel elo b'nolda. That's when the egg is laid. Avabei mei iman divyako sharyan. Everybody agrees that if it's still inside the chicken, then it is part of the chicken. It's mukhan al gavimo, and it's not even a question that it's fine. That's what the Gemara is suggesting here, that in our Mishnah, the Beit Hillel and Beit Shemai are only arguing because the egg was laid. The egg was laid, then according to Rabbi Yitzchok, Rabbi Yosef, you run into the problems of Gzeirot. The fact that those Gzeirot would apply, whether it's Perot Noshrim, or whether it's Soch Schita. But when it's inside the chicken, those don't necessarily apply. According to Rabbo, Achon Ad Rabbo, here, because it never was laid, we assume that it isn't Shkiyah. And as the Gemara said back on Daf Bet Amud Bet, this is a Dover Shalosh Shkiyach. Since it's a Dover Shalosh Shkiyach, we were not gozer in instances where it's a regular Shabbat or regular Yom Tov when you find Beitzim Igmurot according to Rabbo. And then with Rab Nachman, who said that it was a chicken that was a Gadel Beitzim, then you have a harder time. Because if it was a chicken the Gadel Beitzim and then you find the Beitza inside, then it's still a chicken that's the Gadel Beitzim, it still milks it. So according to Rab Nachman, this is harder to explain. V'chi teima Beit Hillel afilu b'mei iman nami asrei. So what do you want to say? That Beit Hillel thinks that it's also problematic inside of the chicken. V'ag d'ktani nolda. So then why does it say a chicken that laid an egg? Why doesn't it just say a chicken with an egg inside of it? So let's teach you the position of Beit Shemai, that even when it's born, you can still eat it. Tafilu nolda nami sharu. Eloha d'tanyo shochete d'tana golet. Umatza ba beitzim gmurot mutarot ochlam b'yom tov. That breita that we just quoted before. The fact that if you shech the chicken, you find eggs inside of it, it's okay to have them on Yom Tov. Mani, who's the author of this breita? Lo Beit Shammai, velo Beit Hillel. Can't be either of them. Because if it's Beit Shammai, then why talk about eggs inside the chicken? You talk about eggs outside the chicken, there's still mutarot. And if it's Beit Hillel, you just told me that Beit Hillel thinks it's asur even inside the chicken. So who's the author of this breita? Ela im yitziata nigmera, umigadelet efrochim. So this is the Gemara's new attempt to explain what this means, im yitziata nigmira, is that it's completed when it leaves the chicken. That means that it has viable eggs that can be incubated into chicks. Before that point, they cannot be incubated into chicks. Only after it's laid can it be incubated into chicks. So b'meima eina megadelet efrochim. Whereas, if the eggs are still within the chicken itself, then those eggs, even if they're completed eggs, will not incubate into chicks. The mai nafmina. Why does it make a difference? Now we're no longer in the world of mukse. We're not in the world of basar b'chalav. This information is not useful for either of those. Just a question if it can be incubated or not incubated. But right now, it's still an egg. So why is there any difference? It's for commercial reasons. There is a nafkamina, which is ki ha'ud amar luhu beid pachya man. Person was asking around, does anybody have eggs? Now here the word pachya, as Rashi says, is from a live cackling chicken. So do you have eggs from a live chicken? Yavule beya deshchuta. But on the other hand, they sold him eggs that came from a shechted chicken, eggs that were found inside of a chicken. Ata the kame de Rabbi Ami, so he brought the case before Rabbi Ami. Amalu mekaktautu. It's clearly a problematic transaction, and the transaction can vadar. You can reverse the transaction because it was done on false premises. He wanted a certain type of egg, and they didn't give it to him. Gemara says, Pshita, what was the question? He's walking around saying, I want eggs that were laid. And in the meantime, they gave him eggs from a chicken that was shechted. So, look, Ben Kaku is going to eat the eggs. His whole point of getting these eggs was to eat them. So what does it make a difference if it came from a live chicken or if it came from a shechted chicken? So then why is he bother asking for live chicken eggs? Mishom ditzrivan. Because they are hard-shelled. They're better formed or more hard-shelled. They've come together in a stronger way. So it's a more complete egg. Higher quality, stronger egg. And so then, the mai nafkamina, why does it make a difference? Again, if he's going to eat it in the end, why does it matter? The meitveh lei beini ubeini. So pay him the differential in price. In that the eggs from a live chicken that were laid are worth more money than in eggs that were taken out of a shechted chicken. There's a price differential. So what you would have thought is, all he has to do is refund him the price differential between those two types of quality of eggs. Grade A eggs versus grade B eggs. Or is that grade A versus grade C here? So he didn't just have to refund him the quality between the eggs. So that's what you would have thought in this case. Kamash Malan, that's not the case. That if he's asking for live eggs, that means that he wants eggs that can hatch chicks. And if that's the case, this doesn't work. And he can reverse the whole transaction. We don't just pay out the differential, we reverse, annul the transaction and say you start from scratch again because he didn't get what he wanted. And we don't make the assumption it's all for eating and all it is a little price differential in quality.
What do I do from the difference?
Okay, he didn't say what he was going to use the eggs for. So the question is, what do you assume when he asked for live chicken eggs, what do you assume? So it was a possibility that you assume he just wants to eat them, he's just looking for grade A instead of grade C. The answer is no, that when he says he wants live chicken eggs, he wants that can hatch chicks. Since he wants those that can hatch chicks, these fail the test. Since they fail the test, he can reverse the transaction. It's not just a monetary issue. The transaction is not good for him because he can't use the eggs for what he wants. Now there was another case. Leman. Person was going around and saying, I want fertilized eggs. So the man. Who's got these fertilized eggs? Instead, they gave him eggs, not that were fertilized, but unfertilized eggs. Gemara calls it safna mi'aro, which the Gemara assumes here that in order for the chicken to lay the egg, it either has to mate with fertilized eggs with the zakar, or somehow has to self-stimulate that it lays the egg. The safna mi'aro is this concept of, as Rashi says, mit mechamemet bakarka, stimulates itself against the ground, and that's what caused the laying of the egg. The difference basically is between a fertilized egg and an unfertilized egg. Ata the kame de Rabbi Ami, amar luhu mekaftaudu. Again, a case of Rabbi Ami says this is a sale that needs to be annulled. It was a false transaction. Vahadar, and you have to give it back. Pshita, again, what's the question? He asked for fertilized eggs, he's getting unfertilized eggs. Marutei ma'ilach hiloko by luhu, the same thing. We would assume that all he wants, he's eating these eggs. Haide kamar de dichro, so why did you want a fertilized egg? Mishum de shmeinan tve. They are richer, they have more fat in them. And therefore, the fertilized egg is better even for eating, forgetting about whether you can hatch a chick out of them. They're just better, again, a better quality egg. So the mai nafkamina, meitlevlei the beini beini. Again, if he's just going to eat them, if our assumption was that he's just eating the eggs, he's just looking for a higher quality egg, then all we'd have to do is refund him the differential in price between the higher quality and lower quality egg. But here, kamash malon, that's not the case. When he's looking for fertilized eggs, he's looking for eggs that can hatch chicks. The fact is that he can't do that. Since he can't do that, there is an annulment of the entire transaction. So that's our first answer as to what the statement of Rav Huna Marav, Beitza Imitziata Nigmira, means. It means that only eggs that are laid can hatch chicks or incubate chicks. If they're not laid, they can't do that. That's our first answer. Now, Bibai Tema, Here's another answer. Mayim yitziyata nigmira. What does it mean that when it's laid the egg, that's when it's finished? Im yitziyat ruba nigmira. Means when the majority of it leaves the chicken, then it's considered to be a finished egg. Uke de Rabbi Yochanan, similar to the position of Rabbi Yochanan, Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Beitza sheyatza ruba mi erev yom tov, vichazra muteret ochlo bi yom tov. An egg which the rove of the egg, majority of the egg, exited the chicken before yom tov, but then it went back into the chicken and was only laid the subsequent day, that is muteret ochlo bi yom tov. You can eat it on Yom Tov because it's considered as if the egg was laid on Erev Yom Tov. The fact that Rov left already, it's the equivalent of having the egg been laid and then reinserted into the chicken. Although it happened naturally, but it's the same thing. So the egg is classified as being laid. That means on Erev Yom Tov it's laid, then you have no problems according to everyone. Once the egg is laid on Erev Yom Tov, of course you can use it on Yom Tov. So that's the Rabbi Yochanan's position. And this would be the similar to Rabbi Yochanan's position that Imitzi Atag Nigmara means once it's exited by Rov, it's considered to be finished. Vika damar. Others say just the opposite, which is my imitziyata nigmira. What does it mean that once it's laid, it's finished? Imitziyat kula nigmira. It's completely exited the chicken to be considered a complete egg. Imitziyat kula in avarubalo. It has to be completely have exited the chicken, but not the roof. Ula fuke mid Rabbi Yochanan. And then it would be against Rabbi Yochanan's position, this position of Ravuna Marav, that roof is enough according to Rabbi Yochanan, and according to Rav Huna Amar Rav, it has to completely exit the chicken before it's considered to be complete. Right, Gufa. Gemara wants to go back and take a deeper look at the Braita that we saw before. Shocheta de Tanagolet umatzaba beitzim gmurot mutorot ochlam bichalav. Person shechs a chicken and finds an inside of it complete, finished eggs. You can eat them with milk. They're considered to be parve. They're separate from the chicken already. Rav Yaakov Omer, imayum urot bigidin. If they are still covered in sinews or in arteries, asurot, then they are problematic. Man tano lahadu tano rabbanan. Who's the author of this braita? Ochel minivelot of tahor. Someone who eats from the carcass of an of tahor. Now, of tahor, nivelat of tahor has a different din than traditional nivela. A regular nivela, carcass of an animal that died, is tameh. It's mitameh b'maga, it's mitameh b'masa. You can't eat it, obviously, separately. It's an Easter to eat it. But in addition to that, it has tumah. It conveys tumah. If you come into contact with it, if you carry it, it conveys tumah. Nevelat of tahor is the only exception to that din of nevela. It conveys no tumah. It has no tumah except if you eat it. The only way to become tameh is bebeta blia. When you swallow it, once you swallow it, that's when the tumah comes and it creates tumah taguf. Tumah taguf, that's mitameh begadim. But that's the only way to get tumah from nevelat of tahor. So in the case here, he ate from a nevelat of tahor. What did he eat? He either ate min ashlal shel beitzim, he ate a cluster of eggs, min atzamot, he ate the bones, min agidim, he ate the sinews, umin abasar shenitlash min achai. Or he ate from flesh that fell off while it was still alive. In all these cases, tahor. All these cases, tahor, because these items do not have a din of nevela. Again, the basar that was nitlash while it's alive, because it was still alive when the basar came away. So it's not a din of nevela tov tahor. Atzamot and gidin are not considered to be basar. They're not flesh. They're not edible items. The bones, and here, according to the mandamer here, the gidim don't have no tain tam. These, the gidim sinews don't have any flavor or don't impart any flavor, so therefore they're considered like wood. It's like chewing on a piece of wood. So there's nothing there. Shlal shel beitzim is interesting. If there's a cluster of eggs in there, they don't have a din of nevela tov tahor. That's what's going to be interesting to us. Then the next one is, minai shkol shel beitzim. And if he eats from, it looks like to here, the ovaries, the area in which the eggs are created. Mina kurkuban. Kurkuban is the crop of the bird. Ubnei me'ayin, the entrails, the intestines. O shim himcha et achelef. He liquefied the fat. Vigam o. And then he drank it. Tamei. In all these cases, that's considered as if eating the nevelat of tahor itself, and it will cause tumah to the individual. So man tano min ashlal shel beitzim tahor. Who says that when you eat from the cluster of eggs inside of the chicken or inside of the bird here, that is still considered to be separate enough that you would not take on the status of nevelat of tahor, also separate enough that you could eat it with milk? So amar Rav Yosef to lok Rabbi Yaakov. That's certainly not like Rabbi Yaakov. De'i k'Rabbi Yaakov amar imayu meurot v'gidin asurot. According to Rabbi Yaakov, you would have to clarify these beitzim, exactly what's the status of these beitzim. this cluster of eggs? Are they still wrapped in the sinews? Are they still in a state in which they're considered to be, quote-unquote, incomplete, and therefore they have a status of uptor? So I'm like, Abaye, me might. I'm not so sure that's true. Again, this is Abaye speaking to Rabbi Yosef, his Rebbe. Abaye says to his Rebbe, I'm not so sure. Dilma, ad kan lo kama Rebbe Yaakov hotom elian isura. That's only true with regards to the isur of consuming nevelat uptor. But inyan tuma, lo. But by tuma, maybe that's not the case. So the assumption being here that the restriction that Rabbi Yaakov places only midrabanan. Midoraita agrees that these eggs are considered to be complete eggs, and you can eat them with milk. So then, why does he argue? He argues because it looks too close. It looks like it's in the chicken. It looks like the meat of the chicken because of their state. But I'm going to say it's asur to eat them, but I'm not going to allow it to convey tuma. B'chitei melinyan tuma nami nigzur. So then, why doesn't it? If he makes it asur midrabanan, why isn't it mitamei midrabanan? Afushei tumahu. That increases tuma. Fushei tuma midrabanan lo mafshinan. Midrabanan would try not to increase the amount of tuma in general because it ruins darot. So we want to limit the amount of tuma around. So even if we're going to restrict you midrabanan, we're not going to be mitamei you midrabanan. Now that's interesting. As Rashi points out, we have unlimited number of zerot rabanan in terms of tuma. It's not like we don't have them. So what Rashi says is that if they say it explicitly, then we will agree that there is tuma midrabanan. The rabbanan felt it was important. But if they don't say it explicitly, we're going to minimize the position to say there is no tuma. From Rabbi Yaakov, we don't hear anything about tuma. We simply hear that it's asur to eat it with milk. We think that it is basar. That's the only thing we hear from him. We do not hear from him that it's tameh. So therefore, we're going to make an assumption that it is asur and not tameh unless we explicitly hear from him that it is tameh. So that's the answer of the Gemara, that maybe Rabbi Yaakov could fit into this braita that we just quoted before. Vika damre, mantana mineshkosha beitzim tameh. Who's the one who says that from the ovaries that it is tameh? I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yaakov. That's Rabbi Yaakov who says that a beitzim inside of the chicken have a din like the chicken itself. Damre mayumi urot begidin asurot. So again, Abaye's Talmud says, Damameh Abaye, mimai deeshkol, mihanech detalya beeshkol. You're reading eshkoshel beitzim not as the ovaries themselves, but rather the eggs contained inside of the ovaries. Dilma eshkol gufet. Maybe it's talking about the ovaries themselves, that they are basarof. B'chitema eshkol gufet ma'la memra. What's the chiddush then? Of course, that's part of the chicken. Why would you assume that it's not part of the chicken? Midei d'hava korkoban ubnei ma'ayin. Well, tell me about the rest of the brayta there. The rest of the brayta also says korkoban the crop, b'nei ma'ayin the entrails. Dafagab the basar ninhu. Hey, they are basar. Nobody questions that they are basar and part of the oath, yet the Braita mentions them explicitly. Why does the Braita have to tell you about them if they're basar? Kevin de inke inche de lo achle. Not everybody eats all parts of the chicken. People are more finicky about certain parts of the chicken. They're not going to eat this. Some people don't eat the kishka. Some people don't eat the crop. The itztrich lo shminon. So therefore, we have to tell us that they are basar. So too by the ovaries, then kevan de ike inche de lo achle. Some people don't eat them. Maybe it wouldn't be considered like nevela tov tor. It's trich lashmina, and that's what it's coming to teach us, that that's the case, that it is have a status of basar, and has a status of being a chicken, or nevela tov tor, or again, with milk and meat, due to have a problem if it was mixed together. Tarabanan. So now we move on to another topic with regards to the chickens, which is, kol shetash misho b'yom, nolad b'yom. Any animal that mates during the day, nolad bayom, gives birth during the day. Kol shetash misho b'layla, anything that mates at night, nolad b'layla, gives birth at night. Kol shetash misho ben bayom ben b'layla, animals that mate both day and night, nolad ben bayom ben b'layla, they give birth during the day and the night. Kol shetash misho bayom nolad bayom, what's an example of that? Zo tarnagolet, that is a chicken. A chicken, since it mates during the day, will only lay eggs during the day. Kosha tashmisho balayla nolad balayla. Anything that only mates at night gives birth at night. Zuat talef. Those are bats. Kosha tashmisho ben bayom u ben balayla. Whereas mates during the day and the night. Adam v'chod adamile. It's man and any other mammal that does that. But then they will give birth both during the day and the night. Amar mar. Kosha tashmisho bayom nolad bayom. Zutana golet. Domai nafkamina. Why is this information useful to us? It's an interesting fact, but why is it useful to us? Look at the Rav Mari, Breder of Kahano. The Amar Rav Mari, Breder of Kahano, Badak Bikna Shel Tarnagolim. He goes in there and he checks the chicken coop. Me'erev Yom Tov. Velo matza beitza. He didn't find a egg in the chicken coop. The macharishkim. Next morning he gets up before dawn. Umatza ba beitza. He sees there's an egg there. Muteret. He can eat the egg. What's the assumption? He checked on Erev Yom Tov, no egg there. He comes in the morning of Yom Tov, before sunrise, before Alot HaShachar, checks in and there is an egg. We just said before, chickens don't lay eggs at night. That means for certain the egg was laid before Yom Tov. That means why it's Muteret. It's not looks if the egg was laid before Yom Tov. He missed it. Exactly. Valo Badak. Didn't he check? Imr lo Badak Yafet. He didn't check so well. He missed it. Vafilu Badak Yafet. Even if he did check well, Emar Yetzta Ruba V'Chazra. Rabia. We'll say like Rabbi Yochanan, that majority bit exited the chicken already, and then it just went back in, and that's why it came out at night. Look at Rabbi Yochanan, similar to what Rabbi Yochanan says. Ini, is that really true? V'amar Rabbi Yossi ben Shol, Amarav, Badak Bikna, Shel Tarnagolet, checks in the chicken coop, Me'erav Yom Tov, V'lo Matza Ba'Beitza. He doesn't find an egg there. The Machar Yishkimu Matza Ba'Beitza, and the next morning he gets up and finds an egg there, Asura. It's just the opposite of what we just said. You have two members of Amoraim here. One member of the Amoraim says, totally fine. Next morning, we just assume he didn't do a good job checking, which is Rav Mari, Breder of Ghana. But then we have another Amora, Yossi ben Shaul, Amarav, that if you find it in the morning, we assume that you didn't miss it, and the egg was born or laid overnight, which would be on Yom Tov. Where it says, Hotom b'desaf nomi aro. Case by Rav Yossi ben Shaul, Amarav, is a case where it was laying unfertilized eggs. It was self-stimulating the eggs. So, Ihochi, the Rav Mari Nami. So then why don't you say the same thing by Rav Mari, Breder of Kaano? Why don't you say the same thing over there? How could he be so sure that the egg was laid in the morning? It could have been laid at night. Ema, Mi'ara, Safno. You could say that it was created. The egg was laid because it self-stimulated. V'di'ika Zachar Bado. There's a male there. Just because there's a male there, who says that all the eggs have to be fertilized? Maybe there are unfertilized eggs. Amravina gemira. We have a halacha the Moshe Misinai, or we have a misora. Kohecha deika zachar lo safna miara. As long as there is a male there, it will not lay unfertilized eggs. Then it will only lay fertilized eggs. It will only lay eggs at the prompting of the male. Bad kama. How close does a male rooster have to be in order for the hen to not lay unfertilized eggs? Amarav gamdo mishmei derav koheche deshama kale biyomama. As long as it can hear the call of the rooster during the day. During the day, because during the day, voices don't carry as well as at night. At night, sound and voices carry much further. So the test is during the day. Why the day? So as Tosfot points out, because we just said before that Tashmisho Biyom, their mating is during the day. So it matters whether it can hear the Zachar during the day or not. If it can hear the Zachar during the day, during its mating at times, it will only lay fertilized eggs, not unfertilized eggs. Therefore you know. So Avad Rabari Uvda Ad Shitin Bate. So he had a case like this, and he checked on Erev Yom Tov, didn't find an egg, got up the next morning, and he didn't found the egg there, and he said, I didn't find a zachar 60 houses away. Sarach Rav Mari, Elatana Golbe, Tirat Beitza. Says, for sure, because this chicken had a rooster within 60 houses, and it could hear it, that means it would not lay unfertilized eggs, and if I found an egg in the morning, that means it was definitely laid before Yom Tov, and it is mutar. So he paskin halocha, LP his position, assuming this is Rav Mari, Breid Rav Kano, that based on his memra, he passing the locha that way. And where it says, now, I'ikanaro, if there is a river between them, lo avra, it will not cross the river. I'ikamavro, if there's a bridge across, avra, it will cross the bridge. So here's the question of how close the male has to be, and what are the physical barriers between it and the male. So if there's water between them, it's not going to get there, so therefore it doesn't count. If there's a bridge, it will cross the bridge. I'ikamitzra, lo avra. So Mitzra, the Gemara describes a number of places, is where you have a very thin crossing bridge across the river, like a narrow board that crosses the river that's very hard to walk on. But on top of it, they have a string or rope that goes across the top. So you're able to hold on to the rope and basically slide yourself across this narrow bridge. So they say the chicken won't do that. Chicken doesn't cross on the tight rope. The chicken's not going across that. Hava Ovdo, Vavra Mitzra. It was a case, and sure enough, the chicken went across the tightrope and got to the other side of the river. Now, the Gemara says, by Mayu Kimto. Where did you set up the case? Bidasafna mi'aro. So that the case is where it laid an unfertilized egg, it stimulated the egg itself. So that's why it gave birth or laid an egg at night. So Gemara says, my iria badak. Then why do you have to check? Ki lo bodok nami. Even if he didn't check, it wouldn't matter. Lo bodok emamet molavai. No, the point is that if he didn't check, then you could assume that it was yesterday. Yochi ki bodok nami. If he checked, then say the same thing. Emi yatzta ruba v'chazrohi. Why don't you say that's the case where it was laid in rove, and then it just went back into the chicken? The Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan lo shkiach. That case of Rabbi Yochanan, that's not a common case. That's an uncommon case, and we're not going to rely on that. Just to put in perspective here, we have to assign probabilities to things happening. So if you have to assign probabilities to things happening, I get up on the morning of Yom Tov, and I find an egg in the chicken coop. So now I have to look at the probabilities of when that egg came from. So if I get up in the morning, I haven't checked the coop beforehand, the highest probability here is that that egg was laid before Yom Tov. Because in general, chickens don't lay eggs at night. And even, Tosafot says, even Bisapna Mi'aro, they will lay at night, but they still prefer the day. So that the overwhelming majority of eggs are laid during the day. That's whether they are fertilized eggs or even unfertilized eggs. The majority are during the day. If I have to, if I'm forced into a position to say that it happened at night because of other evidence, then I will say that. But here, I have no other evidence to the contrary. I'm going to assume that the egg was laid the day before, and that's why it's mutar on Yom Tov. The next case is badak. I checked on Erev Yom Tov, no egg in the coop. Now I have to make an assumption of probability. How did this egg get here? So now I have two choices. Either to say I didn't check well, or to say that it laid an unfertilized egg overnight. That's a higher probability that it laid an unfertilized egg overnight than it was that I didn't check the coop well enough. The third possibility is that I say I checked the coop, and then I didn't find the egg, and I got there Yom Tov morning, and it was laid. So what's the other possibility? Say that it already exited Rove on Erev Yom Tov, went back into the chicken, and it was laid after. That's a very low probability case. So if I have to take a choice between that low probability case or the case where it laid the egg overnight, an unfertilized egg overnight, that's the likelihood that it was laid overnight, and that's why it's mukzah. That's why it's problematic, because it was laid on Yom Tov. By the way, if you do go to chicken coops, they keep the lights on in the chicken coops too, make them think it's summertime, because they only lay eggs during the summertime, and they basically fake out the chickens to have them lay eggs. They need it to be daytime, plus they need it to be summertime. So they keep the light on, so it fakes out the chickens, and they think it's always summer, and nighttime it's time to lay eggs, and so they lay eggs all year round, instead of just in a finite period of time. Right now we have another statement, Amar Rav Yosef ben Shaul, Amar Rav, not necessarily connected to our Gemara, but sometimes when you have an Amora that shows up that we don't see frequently in Shas, once they have him already in the Gemara, they give you all of his Memrot. Here's an additional Memrot, which is Amar Rav Yosef ben Shaul Marav, Haituma Shkika, this garlic, crushed garlic, Saganta Ligluya. You have to be careful about leaving it uncovered overnight because the snakes like this crushed garlic and they will deposit their eris, their venom inside of it. Right now we're back to our Mishnah, which is now the second case in our Mishnah. The first case in our Mishnah was Beit Zeh Shenodah B'Yom Tov, which was an argument Beit Shemai Beit Hillel. Second case in the Mishnah was a case of Seor B'Kezayit and Chameitz. What's the status of the threshold Shi'urim by these items? So we had a Machloke Beit Shemai Beit Hillel. Beit Shemai Omrim that Seor is B'Kezayit, but Chameitz is B'Ko Tevet. Rav wants to know, Ma'at Amayu D'Beit Shemai. Where did Beit Shemai get this idea that one is B'Kezayit and one is B'Ko Tevet? So, Im Kein Lichtov Rachmana Chameitz V'Lo Ba'i Seor. Because the Torah could have just written Chameitz, and you wouldn't have to tell me about Seor. Chameitz being bread, let's call it. And Seor is a leavening agent. So yeast, or something along those lines. V'Ana Amina U'ma Chameitz She'in Chimutzo Kasheh B'Kezayit. I would have known the Shi'ur for Seor, because Chameitz, which doesn't cause other things to leaven, it itself might be chametz, but doesn't cause other things to leaven, that shi'ur for each sor is kezayit, sor shekim mutzo kasheh, sor which is a trigger for other things to leaven, lo kol shekein, certainly it would be the shi'ur is a kezayit, sor d'yachtav rachmana lomali. So then why did the Torah specify separately from chametz that sor is also a sor? Lomar lecha, shi'ur shelzeh, lo kishi'ur shelzeh. Come teach you that they don't have an equal shiur. The only reason to repeat or to tell you separately about seor is to tell you there's something different about it than there is about chametz. What is that? That's to tell you that one has a different shiur than the other. Seor, which is the more chamur of the two, will have the din of Seor Bekezayit, and Chametz, which is the less severe of the two, will have a Shiur of Kotevet. Beit Hillel, Tzriche. He says that we need both of them. If the Torah only wrote Seor, I would say the restriction is simply about Seor, because it's a leavening agent and causes other things to leaven. Aval Chametz, Dein Chimutzo Kasheh Melo. If you didn't write that, I would say Chametz is Mutar. It's only leavening agents that are a problem, not Chametz itself. So Tzricha. So that's why I need it. Vika Dovrachana Chametz. The Torah only wrote Chametz, Shum Dorai Lachila. Because it's good for consumption. You can eat it. Aval Seor, Shein Roi Lachila. These leavening agents, which are great for leavening other things, but they're not edible. Aim Alo. Maybe that's not problematic. Tzricha. That's why I need both of them. So since I need both of them, then you can't make it tzrichuta to say, oh, well, you should have left one out, and since I wrote both, they're different shiurim. No, I need both. If I need both, then there's no reason to believe that the shiur is different between chametz and seor. Ubeit Shammai leitluhu de Rabbi Zeira? Wait a minute. Beit Shammai doesn't subscribe to this position of Rabbi Zeira, the Amar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says, Patacha katuv b'seor, b'siyem b'chametz. We have one place where the Torah speaks in apples and oranges, which is, the pasuk starts with a statement about Seor, which is, Seor lo yimatzei bebateichem, and it completes the pasuk with Chametz, which is, Ki yakol ochel machmetzet. It mixes and matches Seor and Chametz. Lomar lecha, zehu Seor, zehu Chametz. Basically teach you that the din is equal. There's no difference between them. The Gemara says, Inyan achila kuli yama lo plige. Everybody agrees when it comes to eating, consuming, they have the same shiur. There is no difference between them. You just saw that in the pasuk of Rabbi Zeira. Beit Shammai is not going to disagree with Rabbi Zeira. There is an apples and oranges in a pasuk to teach you that they're equal. Kiplige le'inyan bi'ur. The question is, where does the mitzvah of bi'ur come in? As far as eating them, the threshold is a gezayit according to everybody. You eat a gezayit, you violated the Easter of Chametz, you violated the Easter of Seor. The question comes up with regards to bi'ur, the requirement of lo yireh lecha seor, lo yireh lecha chametz. Where does that start? Shammai savri lo yafinim bi'ur mi'achila. Do not say that bi'ur is learnt out of achila, and therefore bi'ur is separate, and by bi'ur, again, we have separate statements for seor, and we have separate statements for chametz. And why do you need separate statements? Then we're back to the position of Beit Shammai, that it's unnecessary. And if it says lo yireh lecha seor and lo yireh lecha chametz, that's coming to teach you that they are different in shiur. On the other hand, Beit Hillel Savrei Yafinim Bi'ur Mi'achila. We learn out Bi'ur from Achila, and just like by Achila they're equated, so too by Bi'ur they are equated, and that leads to the difference in their opinion in our Mishnah. Itmar Nami, we have a similar statement. Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina Machloket Le'inyan Bi'ur. V'le'inyan Achila Divrei Akol Zeb Zeb Gzayit. That machloket that we see in our Mishnah is simply about Bi'ur, the ridding oneself of these items. What is the threshold for ridding oneself of these items? A gezayit or a kotevet? Whereas by achila, divrei akol, everybody agrees that it's gezayit is the threshold, and you violate the Easter of chametz, violate the Easter of seor, if you consume the minimum shir of a gezayit. Tanya nami ochi, so not only do we have a memra of Amoraim supporting this, we also have a braita that supports this, which is, v'lo yireh lecha chametz, v'lo yireh lecha seor, Zehu machloket shebein Beit Shammai uBeit Hillel. This is the machloket between them. Shebein Beit Shammai mai omrim seor b'gzayit v'chametz b'kotevet. Beit Hillel omrim zeh v'zeh b'kezayit. So here it's said explicitly that their machloket is about bi'ur and not about achila. Okay, now we're onto the third section of our Mishnah, which is a shochet chaya v'of b'yom tov. Someone who shechs a chayan of on yom tov as opposed to a be'ema, because a chayan of require kisui adam. Be'ema does not require kisui adam, so it does not present this problem. Chayan of do require kisui adam, so they present the problem. Are you allowed to shech them on Yom Tov, even though you don't have afar mukhan? You don't have dirt ready to do the kisui adam. So ha-shochet. The use of the term shochet is the avad in the chatchila lo. It's implication of once you've done it. A shochet means one who did shech, what is the din? It doesn't tell you yishchot. You should go ahead and shecht it. It simply says, if you have shecht it, what do we do? Ema seifa, then what are you going to do with the latter half of the Mishnah, which says, Beit Hillel omrim lo yishchot. It says, do not shecht, which sounds like that is a lechatchila statement of do not shecht. Klal d'tana kamo, meaning Beit Shammai, savar yishchot, that you can actively do shechita, will tell you, go ahead and do it. It says, halo kasha. That's not a problem. Lo yishchot v'yichseh kamar. So that means, don't shecht it to uncover it. That's what it means. You can't actively shecht it. Shechting is not the problem. Shechita is not the problem. You can shecht it. The problem is that you have to do the kisui adam. But it says lo yishchot, it means lo yishchot b'yichaseh. Don't shecht it, because you will have to cover it, and covering it is the problem. Ema seifa. What about the seifa of the Mishnah? It says, umodim shim shachat, shachpor b'deker v'yichaseh. That you can then dig in with the spade and cover it up. Michlao, dereisha lav di'avadhu. Makes it sound like dereisha is not a case where he already shechted it and then has to cover it. So Amar Rav Achi Kamar. I'll explain to you the Mishnah. Hashuchet Shaba Limalech. This person coming to ask us a question. Ketzad, Omer lo. What do you respond to him? Beit Shemayim omrim lo shchot, chfor v'chseh. Says, shecht it, dig, and cover. He gives him the whole menu, what you gotta do, and you go ahead and do it. Tilimrim lo yishchot. Elim kein ayalo afer muchan mi bojom. Don't shecht it unless you have what is ready. So Beit Shemai is l'chatchila, says you can do all of these activities, and we give him the instruction to do all of these activities. Person who's coming to ask us whether he can be shochet, here is the response he gets. From Beit Shemai it is, go ahead and do what you have to do. Beit Hillel says, no, don't shecht unless you have what's needed for kisui adam. If you have shechted, Beit Hillel agrees, you have to do kisui adam. That's Rabba's opinion. Rav Yosef, remember they're contemporaries, they're also Baal Plugtot. It's Rav Yosef, Amar, Hochi Kamar. Shochet Shabali Amalech, a shochet that comes to ask us a question, Ketzad Omerlo. What do you respond to him? Beit Shemai Omrim, Omerlo, Lech, Chfor, Shkot, Vichse. Go first and make sure that you have the dirt ready, then shecht it and cover it. He doesn't change the fact that Beit Shemai says the Chatkela to do it, it's the order of how you do it. According to Rabba, the order is shecht, then take out the dirt and cover it. Here he says, take out the dirt, shech, and cover it. Can't shecht it unless you have the dirt ready that you can use for covering of the dam. So now Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Abaye is a Talmud of both Rabba and Rav Yosef. He grew up in Rabba's home, and he was a Talmud of Rav Yosef. Leimamar v'Rabba b'Rabbi Zeira, Amarav kamiflagitu. Leimamar, Mar being his Rebbe, here it's Rabbi Yosef, and Rabba are arguing in this statement of Rabbi Zeira Amarav. The Amar Rabbi Zeira Amarav, a shuchet tzarich shitein afar lemato, afar lemalo. When you do kisui adam, not only do you have to cover it on top, you have to cover a layer on the bottom, blood, and then a layer on top. Shenemar, because it says, v'shafach adamo, v'chisau be'afar. It says there that when the blood is spilt, you have to cover it with dirt. Afar lo ne'amar. It's not telling you the material which you must cover it with. Could have just said, b'chiseo afar. Cover it in dirt. What does be'afar mean? Inside the dirt. Elo be'afar melamecha shuchet zirich shetein afar the mato, afar the malo. You have to have dirt underneath it to capture the blood, and then dirt on top of it to cover. The covering is on both sides, not just from the top. Demar itle de Rabbi Zeira. You subscribe to Rabbi Zeira, and therefore your order is first dig up the dirt, then shech, and then cover it, because you need the dirt on the bottom before you start. Rabbo lele de Rabbi Zeira. Rabbo does not subscribe to that, therefore he says, shech, dig it up and cover it, because he only needs one covering. He needs the covering on top, the then at the bottom. Amrele ben didi ben Rabbo itlan de Rabbi Zeira. That's not true. We both subscribe to Rabbi Zeira, and you have to cover it on both sides. This is what we argue about. Rabba savar ii kama far the mato in ilo lo. If there is a far underneath, then it's fine. If not, because chashina del mamlich velo shochit. What Rabba says is, we don't want you digging up dirt unless you're certain you're going to shecht. The only reason to allow you to dig up the dirt and to deal with mukse is because you're going to shech. So shech first, so I know you've done it, and then deal with the mukse issue afterwards. Whereas the didi, on the other hand, I think, ha, adifa, ilo sharit le, atalim nuim isimchat yom tov. I think that this situation is better because if he prepares it ahead of time, then he will shech, and he won't change his mind because he has simchat yom tov. Meaning that if you tell him, shecht, and then do the kisui adam afterwards, he'll say, I don't know.
I don't want to go
right? Once he's dug up the dirt already, we know that he's going down that direction, and he'll continue to do it for simchat yom tov. So you're afraid you do see that simchat yom tov is playing a role in here. We're allowing you to engage in muksa because of simchat yom tov. So that's Rabbi Yosef says, we'd rather you engage with the muksa up front because that way I know you will shecht, and you will have simchat yom tov. Rabbi looks at it the other way and says, don't engage in the muksa until you for sure have done something that is towards Simchat Yom Tov, and since it's done towards Simchat Yom Tov, you'll do the kisui afterwards. But if you dig it up first and then you change your mind, That's a risk. And we don't want you engaging in mukhskal with the risk that you won't sheft in the end. Only you could do it if it's inevitable. If it's inevitable, then take care of it. But if it's not inevitable, don't engage in the muks until you know for sure. And that will be the machlokah between myself, Rabbi Yossi says, and Rabbo. Okay, we'll stop over here.